Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey, BFF family, we've got some exciting news.
That's right. If you live in Los Angeles, honestly, even if you don't live in Los Angeles, we will be live, loud, and in color at the Elysian Theater on October 11th.
Ooh, girl, what time?
7:30 p.m. And we've got some amazing guests with us, too, to celebrate National Coming Out Day. And my birthday, which is the day before.
Ooh, girl, I know that's right. Join me, Joho, Travell Anderson, Shaw Jocelle, and Xavier DeLow as we celebrate the BFF experience. Head over to ElysianTheater.com to get your tickets today.
Well, hello, the internet, and welcome to season 307, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Friday! Woo! Thank you so much for getting us there. It is Friday, October 6th, and you know what that is? It's World College Radio Day. It's National Coaches Day. Shout out if you ever had a good coach. National Orange Wine Day. I know my hipsters on both coasts loving their orange wine. Let's see, National Body Language Day. Okay. Shout out to pseudoscience. National Plus Size Appreciation Day. National Manufacturing Day. World Smile Day. National Noodle Day. We are jam-packed. There's even more. National Mad Hatter Day. Shout out to everybody with mercury poisoning. Because isn't that why the Hatter was mad? Because like, isn't that like colloquially where it comes from? Working with mercury?
Because it's a dye in one of the colors. Why do I know this?
Yeah, see, we're all on the same page.
My favorite murder. Yeah, they did a whole story on it. Yep.
Aha, Well, guess what? My name is Miles Gray, a.k.a., in honor of that FEMA broadcast, because I got the vaccine, zap my brain with 5G. I'm undead. Thanks, Joe Brandon. shout out to Konnichiwa. Wow, you spelled that like Co and then Friedrich Nietzsche and then WA. Wow, on the Discord. I see you. I'm picking up what you're putting down. And guess what, y'all? I am joined. You already heard the lovely tones coming from my guest co-host. Really, one of my favorite people to do the show with. I don't know how many more times I have to introduce her as, you know, one of the shining lights out there on the internet. Someone who has impeccable taste when it comes to media. Someone who has their hands on some of the best podcasts in the game right now. Please welcome Joelle Monique!
Hey, Lipstick Don is back. What's up?
Hey, how are you? How you doing?
I effed up my own birthday plans, so I've been a little sour on it for the past 24 hours. Initially, I told my friends, hey, let's do the 14th. And then my friend was like, I can't do the 14th. I was like, well, it's not going to be fun without you. Let's do the 7th. But my brain didn't clock the change from the 7th to the 14th. And then I was like, I really need a break. I filmed a movie last weekend. I'm so glad I took this weekend off and I'm doing my birthday on the 14th. So she reached out, she's like, what time am I picking you up this Saturday? I was like, no, honey, next Saturday. She was like, I'm out of town next Saturday. I already had this conversation with you. I was like, no. So now I got to refigure out all my birthday plans, find a day all my girls are available, reschedule. The ADD kicked in so hard.
Yeah.
So annoying. I will be fine. I'm going to pick myself up. I made myself French toast this morning. So already a little bit better. We're working on it. But man, the ADD strikes again. She's brutal.
Well, brutal luckily, I think that's a good way to give yourself a pass to have like a birthday 3 weeks. You know what I mean?
I like this.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I just recently celebrated my birthday with my mom like last weekend and it was already almost a month ago. But
I love it. It's
not always bound to the day. Anyway,
it's a season.
Let us bring in our guest because we always have fantastic guests. Another titan of podcasting. You know, she's worked on countless amazing shows like Reply All, etc. Recently hosted the Amazing History Podcast. Past It is currently hosting the show Past Perfect. And not only that, on top of the podcasting, the writing, the performing, and filmmaking. Okay? Please welcome to the third seat, Simone Polonin!
Hello, hello. Wow.
Hello, Simone.
I'm like almost out of breath listening to this introduction. I've been on such a journey already.
I have to hit my inhaler really quick. Just make sure I got the lung capacity to keep up. But Simone, thank you so much for joining us. How art thou? How are you?
I art fantastic. Thank you for asking. It's a sunny day here in Brooklyn, you know? Things are good.
Yeah. What's the temperature right now in New York?
I can tell you, it is 76 degrees. Oh, very pleasant. 76.
Y'all are really living right now.
That's what I'm talking. And, you know, our guest yesterday also in Brooklyn, and we were talking about the floods. Were you near one of the intersections that was flooding? The way you described it. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was not. I was a little bit, above ground. But I do know folks who, got into some hairy situations. Nothing life-threatening, thankfully. But, you know, like couldn't use their water because it would pump raw sewage up into their apartment kind of deal.
Where are those videos? You know, because most of the time we're just like, oh, that bus got flooded. And then other times, I think we were on a call actually when we were talking about this. But I'm like, I feel like the real fucking devastation happens in those basement apartments.
I actually saw a video right after that of somebody like trying to tape up the seam in their door as their apartment is flooding. And I was like, it's too late. The adhesive's not going to work. I'm so sorry for you. Terrible. Horrifying.
I love the logic. I love the cartoon logic, though.
I'll tape it up and it'll be fine.
The seams, and that will hold back the weight of the water, the torrential downpour.
They're really trying it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we love a dream around here. Well, Simone, we are going to get to know you a little bit better. But first, we're going to tell people what we're talking about today. A little bit of politics we got to touch on today because Joe Brandon never stopped building Trump's wall, it turns out. And we're finding a little bit more about what's going on there and why it's probably what's going to just keep happening. We're also going to talk about Matt Gaetz, unfortunately, who might be the new Madison Cawthorn because Republicans are starting to say some really weird stuff about him in public. And it feels like the same thing we saw, like the coordinated dismantling of a member of Congress where they want to oust from their party. So we'll touch on that. Also, it's time. The annual candy map that we always discuss every year on this show has been released about every state's favorite Halloween candy.
It's here.
We are going to see, you know, what is going on. You know, what has changed, what hasn't changed, who's on the come up, because there's some movers on that list. And also, Drew Barrymore. We got to talk about Drew Barrymore. Mm. Her show's back, but guess who ain't? The writers, because they want nothing to do with her after that nonsense that she pulled, trying to be out here self-scabbing or whatever she thought she was doing. But we'll talk about that and plenty more. But first, Simone, asking you, since you're the guest,
what is
something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Yeah, so this was a very interesting exercise to like go back and see what am I up to?
Mm-hmm.
Something that I wanted to highlight is a trio of searches. Jeggings, followed by jeggings cringe, and finally jeggings ugly.
Oh, okay. So
this is a journey.
So I've done similar searches like this. Is it because you're in the jegging market and you just want to make sure that you're not totally washed by wearing jeggings? Or are you working on a story about how jeggings are totally washed and nobody should wear them?
Thank God it is the latter. No, I am not in the market for jeggings in 2023. Thank you very much.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm the same place too. Yeah. I wasn't checking that because I know they are bad and washed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all on the same page about the jeggings. No, but so this was actually for an episode of Past Perfect.
Okay.
So for those who don't know, it's a time traveling trivia show. And last week we put out an episode all about the 2010s.
Oh, yeah.
I needed some visual references for jeggings.
Yeah.
And I feel like the reason why there is this like multiple searches is because, okay, conspiracy theory potentially, but I feel there is an effort to like erase how truly horrifying jeggings were as a trend. Because when you Google image search, it's like all very tame, like it's all the classy jeggings and it's none of the real, you know, the real
acid wash jeggings.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So keep your eye open for that.
Yeah.
Because there might be afoot. Did you ever wear jeggings? Full disclosure.
Full disclosure. I did wear jeggings. Yeah. And maybe that's why I have a deep wound in my heart because I did go out in public a lot in jeggings.
We do have to let the children know that, okay, when jeggings came around, your only options were very uncomfortable jeans. They were stiff. They were too tight. Yeah. They're awful. And then they were like, what if you had a soft, comfortable jean? And that is why we went full tilt into the jeggings as a culture for a moment.
Right.
And then we had to review photos of ourselves later. We were like, we have respect. We have self-respect.
As a ignorant cishet man, are jeggings described as just leggings merely with the denim graphic printed upon the fabric? Or are we talking about those like super elastic jeans too? Were those jeggings?
I'm talking about essentially leggings fabric with a photograph of jeans denim, like overlaid on top.
Terrible Photoshop job.
Now, are there really elastic jeans out? Because I need those with my thick thighs.
You got the new technology. What you're going to want to do is head over to Good American. I'm sorry to support a Kardashian, but Khloe Kardashian found a business that works and she's sticking to it. And it's real good. They have jeans. I think there's six sizes in a single jean. There's so much stretch.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy.
Okay.
And they are apparently really, really comfortable.
I'm sorry, what is the name of the company?
Good American.
That is the worst fucking name I've ever... I will never buy anything. I'm sorry. I will never buy anything that says Good American.
I thought it was a MAGA thing when I first heard about it. I was like, what's happening over here? And they were like, no, it's Khloe Kardashian's jean company. And I was like... Okay,
it does kind of sound like Republican jeans.
Yeah,
really funny.
Wow. Okay. Where's I'll wear bad American jeans.
Okay.
Spicy. Yeah. I like the sound of that. Actually,
but then also that also sounds like from the perspective of someone like abroad who's like another bad American has shown up, and I'm like, no. I'm merely just from this sordid place. I don't carry all of its fucked up values. But yeah, jeggings, for the record, I guess they're out. So I will no longer purchase them.
That's
for
good.
The record. Okay, good to know. Simone, what is something you think is overrated?
Ooh, okay. I wonder if this will be controversial, but...
Go ahead.
Baths. I think they're overrated.
Okay, all right. I need the details. What is overrated about them?
Walk me through this. First of all... Mm-hmm. Wow.
There's a number
list. Holy shit. You said first of all. Woo!
So, you have to do a chore before you even get started with the activity. You want me to relax, but preceded by labor? I'm already out. You know what I mean? I need to clean the tub. I need to clear whatever's in there. I need to get everything, because I'm about to be sitting in a
hot. You don't want to be in a bacteria
pool.
Of
water. Yeah, exactly.
Right, I get that.
So that's a high barrier.
Okay, second of all.
Temperature control. Way too variable. I'm too hot. I'm too cold. I'm comfortable for maybe 30 seconds of the whole experience.
Right, okay.
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 Next. And this is a big one for me.
Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I'm putting my butt on wet ceramic. That is a sensory nightmare. I don't enjoy the feeling of that.
Wait. But you'd think at that point, right, the ambient temperature of the, it all kind of equalizes, right? You're saying it just, or is just wet ceramic just, no, that's not for you?
Yeah, it's not for me. It just makes me think of damp and dank, and it's not a comforting experience for my body.
Okay.
How about, wow. I'll put it that
way.
I
never thought about the feeling of what it's like for your butt to be in a bathtub, but now you've given me a new way to, a new perspective. And I do thank you for that.
Yeah. Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah.
And then my final point, if you do somehow get the slightest hint of texture, a grain of sand, a hair, something that, again, like, that'll send me over the edge. I'm like, no.
Okay. Immediately, like, you're like, what the hell is in this tub with
me? Yeah.
Heaven forbid you have bubbles and now you're pushing them around. Like, what else is in here? I'm horrified.
You get it. It's a horror show.
Yeah, I do. The bathtub stew has been a confusing. My mother is like a huge bath person. She loves a bath. Like, I get the sea salts and the bath bombs and all this stuff. And she's like, it's just so relaxing. It's like a day at the spa. It's like, I've been to the spa and it's not all like that. At the spa, they do all of the work. At the spa, the tub is a reasonable height. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those tubs where they're like, okay, so now you're going to, like, with your whole body wet and slick, hop out onto a tile floor. Don't die, hopefully. That's not at all a relaxing situation.
Right, right.
If you have hip issues, this is dangerous. And then on top of all of that, then, you know, when you're done with your bath and you've drained the tub, there's always going to be some kind of residue. So I have to stay behind and, like, shower the tub down to, like, try to make it somewhat halfway decent. Baths are a lot extra. Buy a hot tub.
Oh.
That's my thought process.
Okay. Hot tub, I can get behind. And chemicals. They seem like they're closely related, but I think they you're right, they're totally different experiences.
Totally different.
Okay. I know producer Victor said he's riding with this take. I'm pro bath. You know, that's I think a cultural thing. I'm half Japanese. We love the bath. It's all about bath culture. But there's a difference, right? When you get in a bath in Japan, you clean your ass and everything before you get in your tub. The tub is something you enter clean. So
brilliant.
A lot of the times, but most American bathrooms are not set up like a Japanese or Asian style bathroom where it's like your shower is kind of, and like you would basically sit on a little stool and kind of just like wash yourself down, make sure you're clean, get all your dead skin off, then go in the tub and enjoy it. Cause that is, it's very relaxing. It helps me go to sleep. Like if I'm having trouble sleeping, a nice bath before, whew, does the trick. But I get it. For those of us who have sensitive butts, maybe isn't the best way to go. I'm gonna go on a limb and say you're a very, very sensitive person, like in general, right? Like you the way you were pointing out different textures and things, I'm like, this person, their senses are firing on all cylinders.
You know, I have been maybe called particular at previous times in my life. You might be picking up on something.
Do you have any other weird? Because I'm sorry. The thing about my butt being on wet ceramic, I can't let that go. Like, it's so specific. Do you have any other specific things that are sort of similar in that vein where you would be like, oh, I don't do that?
Yeah. Well, I find I'm realizing, like, it's something having to do with, like, when my body touches surfaces. I have a hard time being barefoot a lot of places.
Oh,
like, I get really in my head about, like,
what's
going on? What am I coming in contact with? But, like, being in, like, sand or mud or, like, in nature, like, that's fine. But, like, my feet on tile. Maybe it's tile. Something with bathrooms. Difficult relationship with bathrooms, I think I'm learning as I'm talking right now.
Horrifying places, bathrooms.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's always weird stuff happening there. You know, I may say so myself. Okay. Let's go to something a little bit different. What do you think is something that is underrated?
Ooh, okay. Something that I think is underrated is listening to classical music at the gym. And this is something I only started doing kind of recently, and it's been a huge game changer. It's like, it's really meditative and energizing at the same time. Mm-hmm. Beethoven's Fifth goes especially hard, if anyone's interested. Okay.
I mean, that's basically
somewhere.
EDM of house music.
Kind of.
Yeah. That dun, 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 dun. That's, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, like...
that's Beethoven's Fifth, right?
Excuse me. Yes, it is, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. It's a very arousing... And I mean that in the just... It's a very... stimulating. Like, it's a...
No, yeah, no. We're not in sixth grade here.
Yeah.
It's like, arousing. Go on.
Yeah. And, like, to the point where I was, like, like, I didn't know too much about Beethoven's history. And I was like, this guy must have been like the guy of his day, right? Like, mm-hmm. he's like the Usher in Vegas, you know what I mean, of his time. So I looked it up, and that is not the case, turns out. It was like the exact opposite. And he was actually a very romantic and lovesick person who like didn't consummate his love with the many women that he fell in love with, which is right. like interesting that you created
a
this
romantic
art.
King. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
This other thing, I mean, are we claiming him? You know, because the other rumor is that Beethoven was black.
Okay. I have seen this.
Have you seen that rumor?
Black.
That internet rumor
is sign it.
Hilarious. They're like, look at this. He might be light skinned. I'm like, I don't know. Okay, sure. Maybe. But it's like a very interesting internet thing. It was like, Beethoven was black.
I love it.
Sure. I guess.
I mean, I love a black Ludwig. But yeah. I'm down for that.
What about, okay, so you got Beethoven bumping through the headphones. Is it like, is that like good for just in general? It just puts you in a good place to focus. Because for me, whenever I've listened to music, I kind of need it to be like a motor that drives my limbs to keep going. Mm. It's usually in the context of like running. But again, mm-hmm. that's my very narrow experience with it.
I think it has that vibe. You know what it is, too? It's the absence of lyrics, I think, help you focus, too. And you really are kind of like focusing on the rhythm and the tempo and right. you know, the various instruments coming together, and it could propel you to like, you know, lift or run or whatever. Sure. I find that it like, yeah, it's effective, like just keeping you motivated and kind of tuned into your body also.
Got you.
What other classics are you spinning? If someone, if you were to put together a workout playlist, who else is showing up?
Classical workouts.
Yeah. I really like a Tchaikovsky.
Yeah.
You like the aggressive ones.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You know,
yeah.
Music.
On.
It's got to be gym music still.
Dvorak's New World Symphony. You're like, oh, you fucking with Dvorak too? Okay. You really, those are bangers.
Yeah. You know, maybe some Vivaldi.
Yes.
Love Vivaldi. Love those. Love the Four Seasons. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might recommend Maurice Ravel's Bolero as a good warm-up track.
Dun, 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 dun. Yo, shout out my classical music nerds out here. I used to play in a youth orchestra, so I was all about the classical music back in the day.
I love it.
What? Okay, but you said lyrics distract you. So who's an artist you can't listen to, or else you're going to just be just completely singing along or completely distracted by the lyrics?
That's a great question. Okay. Okay, I'll just reveal it. I'm just gonna say
go ahead.
So I've gotten really into also the Venga Boys, going back to that like 90s early 2000s like, you know,
the Venga Bus is
electro
coming.
Whatever.
Yeah,
it's so hard not to sing along and be like boom 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 boom, boom, you know.
I want you in my room.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah.
A classic.
Okay, so wait, that's the mean we're like Venga. I'm sorry, I'm a Venga head.
Yeah. Okay,
right,
good. You're,
to my youth.
I'm in with my kindred spirits. Good to
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. Where are they from? Like, they were like from all over, weren't they? Are they really Dutch or something? I feel like
they
that
must
was that,
be European.
Dutch.
Yeah. Well, because of the era when like every, like nobody was from America back then. Like all that electronic music was either coming from like Sweden or Germany or, you know.
Euro
was, like,
dance group.
Like
Dutch.
What was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dutch. Okay.
They're Dutch. Okay.
Wessel van Diepen and Dennis van der Dreyschen. They're very Dutch.
All right. Hup Holland.
Wow.
Hup.
Goed zo.
Yeah. Wait, what was that last thing you said?
I said goed zo. I did live in Holland for a little bit, and I don't speak that much Dutch.
You see my Dutch shirt? Is... Hey, I'm
okay.
out here.
Okay. Hup Holland.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, that's... Let's go. Let's go. That's it. That's all I got to offer this one. Okay. Let's take a quick break and just figure out what's going on with Joe Brandon's now Joe Brandon's wall, I guess. We will figure that out when we come back after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and we just found out Simone, bit of a Dutch passport holder,
just a bit, you know.
Yeah, love to see it. It's an international show at the end of the day. Nice. But speaking of foreign relations, we should talk about our president, Joe Biden. So we just found out that the Biden administration will be continuing to build around 20 miles of border wall in Texas, quote, in an effort to stop rising levels of immigration. And, you know, this is using the funding that was secured by the Trump administration. So that's a bit of like the defense right now from Biden is like, I mean, these funds were already appropriated. So, you know, when I tried to do something, but also I also need to be painted as someone that's tough on immigration. So I'm just going to go ahead and let this thing happen. And also like using the presidential powers and Homeland Security powers to waive federal laws that otherwise would have prohibited the project, including the Clean Air Act and Safe Drinking Water Act. A lot of environmentalists have talked about, like, again, even since the beginning of the construction, they're like, you can't just put an impermeable barrier in the middle of an ecosystem. Like, it fucks things up. But that's where we are. And it's all kind of odd because if you remember at the very beginning of the presidency, he said there would be, quote, not another foot of border wall built if he was elected. He was elected. And then his administration proclaimed like I think on like week one that the border wall, quote, is not a serious policy solution, which is true. Just to build a wall and your, you know, xenophobia like statue, not the best way to, I think, figure out how to deal with immigration. In response to that, now Trump is doing a fucking victory lap and he's saying, like, will Joe Biden apologize to me and America for taking so long to get moving and allowing our country to be flooded with 15 million, blah, 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 blah. He said, I will await his apologies. OK, I don't think they are coming. But the thing is, if we look closer, Biden actually never stopped building the border wall. And, you know, in 2022, he authorized the Border Patrol to close gaps in the wall in Arizona. This was supposedly done under the rationale of like, this is for safety reasons because a child tragically like drowned trying to get into the country. But many experts have said this is not like the logic is fucking absurd here. Like, that's what you're going to do. This is like a man named Miles Trafagan said that basically, quote, people have traveled halfway around the globe on planes, trains and automobiles. So to expect that closing four small gaps is going to make them turn around and book a return flight is sheer fallacy. And that's kind of sort of where we are at. And many people, I think there's a lot of fingers being pointed. Is this because he has an eye on the election and doesn't want to give the Republicans or more conservative Democrats ammo to say, like, he's not treating this thing seriously? But many people have said that money would have been better spent in many other places rather than just continuing to build the wall.
6,000 frustrations. the argument that, like, oh, if I don't seem tough, then they'll be mad or say so. They can say stuff anyway. It doesn't matter. This will not help you at all.
With yeah, you're not going to win them
the
over.
Aisle. Yeah, no, this isn't supportive. It literally does nothing for you. Also, the excuse of the money's already spent. Tell people to keep the money and stop building the wall. What does it matter?
Like, yeah.
If the money's already out there and you have already mentioned that it's a policy that doesn't work, I don't understand being like, well, we paid them, so they have to do it. Just move forward.
It feels like a thing where, like, Republicans, like, if the shoe were on the other foot, they'd be like, we're not using that money to, like, do woke shit. Sorry. We'll completely go around those kinds of regulations. I mean, the way it was, though, I mean, his credit, he was saying before, when there was an appropriations bill where that money, where Congress could have actually redirected it, it was like, y'all should redirect it, but the Republicans were in control, so that shit wasn't happening. Mm-hmm. But I feel like there may have been other opportunities to do this. So it feels very politicky, but also giving people who are like, who have like strong feelings about immigration and like amnesty and, you know, having humane immigration policies, just it's a bit of a kick in the face when you ride in being like, not another fucking foot, except for these next couple miles that we got to build to really tighten this thing up. Because also, I mean, let's be real, like Biden was never someone who was super in on like really flexible immigration. Mm-hmm. So it all kind of fits hand in hand, but a shock mm-hmm. to many people on the internet. Like he's still building it. It's like, well, there's an election coming.
That's the interesting part. I'm not a political analyst or anything, but I'm like, it seems like
keep your eye on things. So, yeah.
It seems like it's going to alienate more people than it is actually going to, like, you know, I don't know, attract anyone to his side.
Yeah.
And it's like, so I don't know. So I understand that maybe they see it as a political strategy to, like, you know, loop in a new sector of voters. But I don't know. It just seems really
right.
He's shooting himself in the foot.
When you like look at like the math of the electorate, you got to know, anyone who's savvy is like, you're not winning over MAGA people ever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not happening. So why worry about their screams and flapping about it? Like, it doesn't make sense when there are a lot of people who were interested in, like, because like, you know, there's so many ways to address this. Like, one is to address the factors or forces that are pushing people out of mm-hmm. their countries to begin with. And, you know, a lot of the time, for all the talk that people say, like, oh, like, what's going on in South America? It's like, well, American foreign policy happened to South America in the mm-hmm. 70s and 80s. Like, that's a huge contributing factor that they turn a blind eye to, or not figuring out ways to stabilize situations in other places. So I think it's just a weird one, like, to your point, where more people are going to be like, why do all this shit? Like, case in point, right? Like, here in California, there is probably like one of the most sort of famous sort of border crossing areas, which is like known as, like, you know, Friendship Park. It's right here, like at the San Diego border crossing. And right now, the administration is basically going to fully like make this thing completely, like, just completely do away with the old fence that was there for something a little bit more, like, more hostile to people. And many people are arguing like that was sort of kind of like a monument to like the bond between U.S. and Mexico, because family members from other sides could meet each other there, even though they couldn't physically be on the same side. They could still like reach through and touch each other, et cetera. And to now be like, we need to tighten that thing up and also get rid of the park that's on the U.S. side. It just feels like extra to for the sake of doing it. And I think, to your point, like, a lot of people would look at that and be like, that's not what we're looking for, or even what we believe is going to help us be safer or quote unquote more humane or whatever the deal is here. So
it's also insane to use the death of a child as an excuse to be like, well, now we have to, because a child, how many children have passed trying to make this journey at different points in the journey? Like, it's a really difficult, especially if you're coming from beyond Central America, you know, go through an entire forest, across a river, like through several countries. Like, it's not simple. There's obviously a reason people are trying to get here in the first place. And to your earlier point, Miles, I just don't understand why we don't spend money trying to find a more permanent solution to help these folks, as opposed to being like, build a wall that we already know definitely doesn't work.
I mean, this is something we've talked about a lot, is, you know, if the solution isn't a money making operation, it's not going to be pursued.
Love, you know, capitalism.
Like, yeah, you know, like, that's, they're like, we can hire more engineering companies to dig up walls and build new wall. or have more privatized, you know, prisons basically for children that are seeking to enter the country for whatever reason. And so those are things that can actually keep money going rather than sort of like the more humane things. You're like, well, why, like even in our own country, we're like, what? Why can't we just have better health care that's like less expensive? It's like, well, then people start making less money on it. They got a lot of lobbying efforts behind it. It's a whole thing. So yeah, it is really frustrating, especially when, again, like the rationale there is so backwards. It's like, oh, how terrible. So that just means we got to build more wall. That's the problem. But we shall see. Looking at the other side of the aisle, I'm sorry to have to bring up the fucking Speaker of the House controversy again, but shit is getting like weird and salacious now. So Matt Gaetz basically acted as like a one-man wrecking crew to destroy the already destroyed former Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who, as we all know, is a vile character that, as I said earlier this week, is lower than snake nipples. So he didn't deserve to be saved from his position. The GOP is in fucking disarray even more than usual somehow. And many of like the rank and file members are so pissed at Matt Gaetz, and they just like, they're like, it doesn't make sense that one guy could derail everything for the entire party. I'm like, I'm sorry. What about Trump? So what? Okay. So I thought you guys were in love with one man wrecking crews. So this has led to, look, from, you know, some onlookers' perspectives, the beginnings of maybe a plot to oust Matt Gaetz from the House, because there were a lot of sound bites on the heels of McCarthy's ouster. That was stuff like people saying, like, Matt Gaetz, like, he's not one of us. Like, that's not what we're supposed to do. We need unity. That was like beyond the pale. Or, you know, like, he shouldn't be associated with this party. He needs to be an independent. A detail actually from the session of Congress there, when like they took the vote on getting McCarthy out, was that Matt Gaetz actually spoke on the left side of the chamber, the minority side of the chamber, the Democrat side of the chamber, because the Republicans were like, can't sit here. They basically just were like, you go do your thing over there.
Have they mean girled him? They can't totally sit with us.
It was Forrest Gump on the bus. You know what I mean? Seats taken. That's all it was. You cannot be here. So like, you could kind of already see them beginning to turn their back on him or whatever they thought they were doing. And so now, like, we're starting to see, like, just weird comments come out of the right. So I just want to put our attention, unfortunately, on Senator Mark Wayne Mullen, who had this really weird thing to say to Manu Raju on CNN about, like why this guy is kind of a bad guy. Here's why he thinks, you know, Matt Gaetz bad.
I'm scared.
Yeah, it's something.
You got to think about this guy. This is a guy that didn't have, that the media didn't give a time of day to after he was accused of sleeping with an underage girl. And there's a reason why no one in the conference came.
Also, I'm sorry, your own party didn't do anything about it when you found that out. Or the allegations came out or found out that he was under investigation. But anyway, go off, King.
Because we had all seen the videos he was showing on the House floor that all of us had walked away of the girls that he had slept with. He'd brag about how he would crush ED medicine and chase it with an energy drink so he could go all night. This is obviously before he got married. And so when that accusation came out, no one defended him, and then no one on the media would give him a time of the day. All of a sudden, he found fame because he opposed the Speaker of the House back in November. And he's always stayed there, and he was never going to leave until he got this last moment of fame by going after her.
All right, that's enough. But
this man is confused about what's happening in the streets. The kids were really excited when he opposed the Speaker, and now he's all kinds of famous.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
wow.
Wow, crushing ED pills, chasing it with energy drinks to go at it all night, obviously before he was married. Because
marriage absolves all of that, and you would definitely stop once the ring was on it.
But it's funny, but it is true, Senator. We did hear about these lewd images that he was sharing with people, and people.
What were you doing, Senator?
What the fuck's wrong with him?
And
we
did.
There were even reports of how this dude had like empty boxes of condoms like at the top of his trash can, and people were like, "Yo, what the fuck is going on with this dude?" So this doesn't seem too far off, especially when you remember former Congressperson Madison Cawthorn from North Carolina, if like last year, he said this thing where he's like, you know, Congress is just really weird. He's like, I've been invited to like orgies at houses and like and people are doing cocaine. And if you recall, that was the beginning of the end for him when he said that, when he mentioned that there was like orgies and cocaine use. And they basically vaporized his shit like instantly. The party, like they had his ass out on a like they ran him out on a rail real quick. So who knows where this leads for Matt Gaetz? But like all we do know is that like this dysfunction in the House, especially without having a speaker and like having the business of Congress sort of grind to a halt, is exactly the kind of shit that Steve Bannon and these other hyper right wing like ghouls pray for. Because it's all, you know, it's all part of the acceleration of like ending the state, the federal government to usher in like a more dysfunctional era of, you know, total privatization. So, you know, there's a lot going on there. But yeah, I'm not sure what exact why Mark Wayne Mullen was wanting to talk about his like ED pill. I don't know. Again,
and like, to think that is he presenting this information as like if you thought being with underage girls was bad.
Yeah.
This guy can't even get hard without help. Like, yeah.
That's what he does with energy escalation. I'm not even sure like what he's supposed to say. It's like, is he saying, he's like, oh, this man has ED or this guy is a sex monster or something. But
I think
again,
he was just playing the SEO game. He was like, people probably don't remember if I mention it now, maybe we can increase some Google searches on Matt's history. Then it's back in the zeitgeist and I can, you know, work with that as we try to oust him.
Right.
It is strange to me the way Republicans, there's just such a, this idea of like, now you've betrayed the party. And so now we have to do everything we can to get you out. And it's like, you should have wanted this guy out forever. Like he has been such a bad like player for your side, not helped you in any way, shape or form. It's strange that like it's now. And but also I'm a little bit like, I would love to just never hear from Matt Gaetz again. It'd be really great. So I feel I'm torn. I'm a little bit excited and a little bit perplexed.
I mean, fun fact about him. He grew up in the house from The Truman Show.
Shut up. What?
His parents own that house. From like The Truman Show.
There are so many details to his story that I'm really having a hard time reconciling.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I had to, like, whenever I hear that, I'm like, what? It's like, yeah, that house where, like with the exteriors from The Truman Show, that's Matt Gaetz's childhood home. So
I don't know what that means, but I feel like it means something.
I wonder, it feels like a thing where like when he saw the movie, he was like, oh shit, what if that's me? What if I'm Truman? What if everything's for me? And I can do no wrong. Like, I mean, a lot of people have that sort of main character complex. So who knows? Who knows? Who knows? But anyway, this is what is going on right now. While there are real serious issues to talk about in this country, like cost of living, housing crisis, the unhoused. But Matt Gaetz is taking boner pills. And that's going to take up all the oxygen right now. All right. Let's take another break and we'll be back to talk about something sweet, literally, after this.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
And we're back, and it's that time of year again, listeners. Each year, candystore.com drops on the masses their map of what they say is the most popular Halloween candy in each state, aka the true geographic measure of America's soul, as our writer Jan McNabb points out. Some states haven't changed much, okay? Montana, they still love Twix. Left Twix or right Twix, I don't know, but they still love Twix. Michigan, all about the Starbursts. Illinois, always about Sour Patch Kids. You're from Illinois, Joelle.
Yeah.
Can you corroborate? Is Sour Patch Kids, are you, what's your feeling towards Sour Patch Kids?
The children loved the gummies. I'm not a gummy kid because it feels weird on my teeth. I can't do it, but like I remember Swedish Fish being so huge when I was a kid. They love the Sour Patches. Mm-hmm. Sour, like when I played softball, I thought this is a sour thing on the stick, or it's just sugar, but it's kind of soury.
Oh, man. Wait, was it Fun Dip?
Oh, Fun Dip.
Yes, yes.
We just took like that like chalky tablet and dipped it. And we're like, I'm sorry, like what were some of those candies about back then?
How to get just more like, sugar into you faster.
I know, but they were really like, take this piece of school chalk and dip it in this like high fructose corn syrup powder and you're good.
Kids love an interactive piece of candy, okay? The ring pops were huge. Love or a like, ring pop.
What was the like the bubble tape that you could like...
Oh, yeah. Bubba tape?
Is that right? Something like that where you could eat like 16 feet of gum and then like choke yourself. I remember almost choking on it so bad my mom never let me buy it again because I put like a tennis ball size of gum in my mouth. Same with Big League Chew. That was meant to look like chewing tobacco. But anyway, that's where we're at. So, okay, we found out earlier, Simone, when you're not in Europe or was hanging out in Holland, you were spending some time in California.
Mm-hmm.
Our state candy, they say, is it's always been Skittles. And I'm like, fine. I feel like everyone hands out Skittles, but that's the one like I eat at the end, like when I've ran out of all the chocolate stuff. Because I'm chocolate all day. That's the only thing that registers to my brain. Are you, what are you feeling on Skittles? For the record.
Fine, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it is a little disappointing to like be represented by Skittles. I was hoping for a chocolate-based candy as well.
Yeah. Or, okay, so now I'm starting to see a Skittles logo in Oklahoma. Maybe it means ours is M&M's?
Oh.
Now, M&M's makes sense.
Oh, that's sadder somehow, okay. Even though that is chocolate.
Well, M&M's are delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, the plain ones are, okay, I hear what you're saying.
Have you ever had you ever do that thing when you're a kid and you find your old Halloween candy from like 4 years earlier? You know what I mean? Did y'all ever have like, I had a Lego case that I would stash all my candy in because my mom or my parents were like, okay, come up off of that. No, you're not getting all of it, copper. So I had it like in a Cayman Islands account, basically, in the back of my closet. And I remember almost breaking my teeth and like on old M&Ms, and it was the most like fucked up experience of my childhood. I remember like, and when I looked inside, it was all
melt
dusty.
In your mouth. That's
no, they were not. They were melting my teeth.
Oh no. Oh,
anyway,
no.
That's neither here nor there.
We have to but talk
overall,
about some states.
We're seeing some changes, okay, in the overall list of most popular Halloween candies. M&Ms are hot on the heels of the number one rated Reese's Cups. I'm with this.
You know why?
Mm-hmm.
Reese's changed their chocolate. It's not as tasty.
It isn't?
Oh.
No. If you eat a Reese's now, like the chocolate has like almost a pulley texture to it, which is not
pulley?
Good.
What's that?
Like, I mean, it's literally like, instead of being melty, it feels more like taffy. Almost, it's not that thick, but it doesn't. The texture is wrong. It's the only way I can say. I think it's probably because they're using more corn syrup as opposed to like sugar. But if you get a Reese's like in Europe, it's a completely different experience. They're so delicious.
What?
It's so good. If you had no another idea. Country.
I'm sorry. The government needs to step in because they should be they should be announcing this over a FEMA broadcast if they are changing the fucking chocolate in a Reese's peanut butter cup. I'm trying to think of the last time I had one. Wow. I mean, I had like the big cup that had potato chips in it recently.
Okay.
And maybe I was just distracted by all the fucking potato chips in it
mm-hmm.
that I didn't realize that the chocolate formula had changed.
Yeah, get a plain, like just a regular Reese's, not one of the big ones, but just and you'll immediately be like, this isn't right. It's not good. As Justin says, it's plasticky. Man. It's not right.
American Empire is falling. I feel like this is proof.
This is all I needed. This is all I needed. Now I'm all in. We are Rome. And it's bread, circuses, fucking affirmations, and Starbucks trying to keep our mental health right so we don't start a revolution. And now you're fucking with the Reese's peanut cup. Oh my God.
It's terrible.
Other thing is, number three on the list, which mm-hmm. had a lot of people scratching their heads, hot tamales.
Okay.
Unhinged.
What?
All right.
I don't get that one.
So what people are saying, like, because many people are looking at this list and be like, okay, well, here might be the deal with why hot tamales went to the three spot mm-hmm. is because hot tamales apparently are less available, like, out in the world at your traditional purveyors of candy. So it's basically inspiring more online orders, which is what candystore.com is seeing, because there's just a subset of people who are like, I can't get my hot tamales.
Okay. What? All right.
Are they sin? I've never even had one because they looked violent to me as a child. Like, I'm like, I'm not getting red pilled off this shit.
This is literally a neon red pill shaped candy.
Did you ever chew big red gum?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it tastes like.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of like spicy, cinnamony.
Yeah.
Like a little burn bit your sweet. Tongue.
Yeah.
Taste that long lasting freshness with big red.
I did not know Shout Big Red had jingle. A jingle. That's oh, yeah. A well, little bit.
I'm a bit older, you know.
Just a tad.
Than I let people know. But I remember the Big Red chewing commercials and even the Ford slogan that was like, have you driven a Ford lately? You remember that one?
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, that's amazing.
Well, allow me to show you my jeggings collection later.
Okay.
Really we're impress get into you it. And blow the wheels off of this thing. But here's the thing that I cannot abide.
Hmm.
Candy corn at number 8. I'm sorry. That's my always on Halloween hot take. I just can't do candy corn.
You throw them out. I don't understand the point of them. I don't understand who ever could possibly have a craving for a candy corn. I would rather eat styrofoam covered in sugar than a candy corn.
Wow. Simone, where do you rank
words.
On this?
Man, I feel not safe coming out with this opinion so now, but I like candy corn, actually. So
that's it.
I actually like sugary wax, it turns out. So,
what is the flavor of candy corn? Like vague vanilla sunscreen?
You know what it is?
Sunscreen?
It's like vanilla butter. It's like, have you ever had a popcorn flavored jelly belly bean?
Oh,
jelly
no.
I hate jelly beans.
Okay, well,
it's candy violence.
Candy violence.
You're like, I know, Joelle's like, I'm sorry.
You will not silence me. I like I need to get shitty candy.
Wait, do you also like Necco wafers?
Okay, don't insult me.
Okay, well, I'm trying to see where the spectrum is here because
that's like a different category of thing altogether.
Wow, what do you call a Necco? Well, what is a Necco wafer to you?
Isn't that like a cookie?
No, it's like a chalk disc.
Oh, those things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's like Tums.
Oh, those are pretty bad. Yeah, that's
like flattened out. Yeah.
It's Tums with no like value.
Yeah, exactly.
No medical like, value.
No active ingredients. Yeah.
I can't settle my stomach with this shit. I'm going to upset my brain.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Wait, so you like the flavor of artificial jelly bean popcorn, and that's kind of where we're at? Is
yeah, it's vanilla butter? It's a weird butter, like, which I'm not pitching it in a way that's sounding enticing at all. It's like waxy, sweet butter.
Right.
You know? But
yeah, waxy, sweet butter.
Yeah.
Like I found an old stick of butter and I rolled it in some sugar and took a big old bite out of it.
Should we call out Missouri?
Yeah.
What's happening with Missouri and the Almond Joy? There's no joy in Missouri. There's no happiness there that you have to revert to Almond Joy. It's your number
one
candy.
Is this also an anti-Almond Joy podcast?
Look, here's the thing.
I can't do an Almond Joy.
I'm not against.
Like a dry coconut.
Well, it's not even, it's so chock full of like palm oil. You know what I mean? And sometimes I feel like a nut and sometimes I don't. Almond Joy has nuts. Mounds don't. But I fuck with an Almond Joy. Not like I'm not seeking it out, but I'm never mad.
Can't do it.
Am I disgusting?
Joy.
Am I now the disgusting one? Okay.
Can I say something crazy?
Please join me in the disgusting
I would go
world.
For an Almond Joy before I went for a Snickers.
Whoa. Snickers is my favorite. You pop it right in the freezer, eat it an hour
later.
Well,
thank you so much, Simone Kalanen, for coming on the show. It's been great having you. I would ask you where people could find you, but I don't want to upset them more with your musings.
Just out here burning bridges.
Wow. No, I mean, look, to each their own. Okay, so, where do you rank Butterfingers? What's at the top? Like, let me figure out. I'm trying to find your Maslow's hierarchy of candy needs.
So, at the top, I'll bring one that's not even on in this infographic here. I love a Take Five, like a peanut butter pretzel, chocolate, salty sweet.
Okay, I've never had it, but it sounds divine.
Oh, it's really good. Take Five,
it's so good.
Yeah. It's also a Reese's. It's a Reese's product.
Yeah.
Okay.
Butterfinger is like pretty close to dead last for me because it's the texture, the teeth, like the
it gets stuck.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I'm the same way. Like,
back
it gets
to sensory stuff, you know.
Yeah, it gets stuck in the crevices. I feel like you need a toothpick to eat a Butterfinger, or like the cavities. I mean, like the shape of my teeth, not all the cavities that I have that my dentist keeps telling me I'd have to get sorted out. But like, it gets in there to a point that is very annoying. Okay, so that's dead last. So let's keep it to this. Okay, so Snickers, you got Almond Joy over Snickers. Where's Skittles in relation to Snickers or Almond Joy? Below?
Below. Because I still preference chocolate.
Okay. Twix?
Twix is pretty high. Twix is above Almond Joy. But not quite Take Five.
And caramel? I think so.
Is it above Snickers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It is.
So, okay. And then what about Milky Way?
Bad. I don't. Do not enjoy. But better than Butterfinger.
Texturally. Better than Butterfinger.
Agree.
Beneath or below Snickers?
Below Snickers.
Below Snickers. Okay. Yeah. What about Three Musketeers?
Oh. Is that different from Milky Way?
Yeah.
It's just nougat. Three Musketeers is chocolate and nougat.
Nougat, period.
Nougat feels very vintage.
Whereas the Milky Way, I think, has caramel in it?
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm going to put that below Milky Way.
Okay.
Maybe below Butterfinger even.
Whoa.
I don't think I fuck with nougat.
Okay, what about the Hershey's mini bar pack, Mr. Good Bar, Hershey's dark chocolate, Crackle, etc., Nestle Crunch, although that is a completely different family. Where do you put, Nestle Crunch, where do you put Nestle Crunch?
Nestle Crunch, I kind of like. I'll put it around the Snickers tier.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm so far we're okay, I would say.
Okay.
So you know what, Simone, you can stay on the show.
Good graces.
You're back on the show. And I really thank you for that. Joelle, what's at the top of your candy mountain?
It used to be Reese's, now it's peanut M&Ms. They are my favorite candy because they go in popcorn. And that's perfect. You throw a bag of peanut M&Ms into a popcorn tin at your movie and you're good to go. You got protein and popcorn. Amazing.
It's a balanced
really
meal.
Absolutely. Listen, my grandmother used to be like, it's fine if we have strawberry ice cream because now we had strawberries and dairy, so we're good.
Yeah.
This is the kind of people I come from.
I just saw the Association of American Pediatrics just say that is the most balanced meal that you could give to a child if you're sick. So
tell your children, I'm sorry if your kids are listening, you will never hear the end of it now.
Hey, tell your parents, the American Association of Pediatrics, I think I just made that name up, but go ahead.
Yeah.
They co-signed it.
when I was a kid, I loved Snickers, was definitely my top candy. It's the combination of chocolate and nuts. But now that I'm an adult, oh gosh, somebody help me. It's like
now that I'm an adult. I love
now
this.
That
thing.
I'm an adult, now that I'm an adult. I'm to, because you can't afford it when you're a child. It's the chocolate that's got like hazelnuts in it. And they're like whole hazelnuts, and it comes in a square.
Kinder Bueno?
It's like a Kinder Bueno, but not. They sell it at Trader Joe's.
Oh my God. Were they? It comes like individually wrapped?
Yeah. It's like a candy bar, but in the form of a square. Hold on. The internet will know.
I know listeners are fucking screaming at us right now.
Ritter fucking.
What is it?
Ritter Sport.
Oh, Ritter Sport. Yeah.
The Ritter Sport whole hazelnut milk chocolate candy bar. Divine.
This is where you're showing your I'm an adult now, because yes, we're going abroad. We're going abroad for our fucking chocolates. 100%. Which, I mean, let's be real. Like, their chocolates are fucking. Have you ever had a Milka?
No, but they look so good. Woo! It's like if you can get into the Japanese Kit Kats. That stuff was mind blowing. Yeah. I was like, why are we not doing it here? It's so tasty.
Yeah. Did you know, I read something that like Japanese candy companies started introducing more candy flavored candy to help the sale of coffee flavored candy to help sales of coffee, like to sort of indoctrinate kids with the coffee flavor at a young age. So when they grow up, they're like, guess what? I fuck with coffee now.
Is that evil or genius?
Yeah, baby. It's the world we live in. But evil Milka, genius. Shout out Milka. If you can get the Oreo Milka.
Stop it.
That's my
favorite cookie. I love me an Oreo.
Look for it. Like I see them around LA now, and I'm guessing Simone, I saw you have a reaction to Milka, so I think we're back on this.
Oh, I'm up. Yeah, we are team Milka. Okay.
Good to know. Well, let's just wrap this up for somebody who things aren't so sweet for right now, and that's Drew Barrymore. So, you know, the lady who said, I'm just trying to do what I do, which is to heal people by bringing my show back, because that's what the people are asking for. We found out that she's coming back to the airwave soon, but without its writers. And not because obviously the strike has been resolved. It's because now that the strike is over and the show is coming back, the writers have, quote, declined an offer to return with it. Which makes a lot of sense, because she really went out here being like, yeah, I'm gonna do this shit without the writers. And guess who was leading the strike outside your studio, or the picket lines outside your studio? Your own fucking writers, Drew Barrymore. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is now like, because it was really a bad look, because even the writers, they said that they didn't even know what was going on. Like, they found out about Drew's decision, like, through fucking Twitter, basically.
Yikes.
So, you know, communication is key. But right now they are interviewing potential new writers. So we'll see what happens there. But I just wanted to come back to that story, because we were focused on it a lot. Mm-hmm. I like to see the kind of shit where like, oh, you thought we forgot? Like, they were never going to come back and be like, oh, yeah, you good, Drew? How have the last few months
been? Think about
what
a huge sacrifice. They've been out of work for 5 months.
Yeah.
And now they're turning down a gig that's probably, you know, Drew was on, like, pretty consistently on air, not a lot of breaks. I imagine it's pretty good money, or at least decent enough to like get your bills and paying. Most people have run out of savings. It is a huge sacrifice for these writers to be like, I'm not going back because the disrespect was so large. I really hope they're able to find work soon, especially because apparently we're just not going to cover our writers with unemployment, which sucks. It's really frustrating. Yeah, I hope this is a lesson to Drew and the rest of, I don't know, the world. Don't piss off a union, especially not one as well organized and together as the WGA.
Yeah, people who are literally, their profession is about communicating, like, interesting
communicating, organizing, and giving great speeches. That's pretty much all writers do. I have no idea why you would go up against them.
Yeah, yeah. You hate to see it. You hate to see it. Look, y'all, just read the room. You know what I mean? It's a hot labor everything right now. Labor's so in. That's why we always are like imploring like the Democrats to be like, hey, try and hook your wagon to this shit called worker rights. Because guess what? Most people, you know, they're more workers than the fucking people that donate to your campaigns. Just do some quick back of the napkin math on that one. But
simple stuff.
Really. You know, shout out to Citizens United, because corporations are people too. All right. Well, Simone, it has been, to be honest, up and down and up sky high again, this appearance. And we're so glad that you joined us. Where can people check you out? And I know you have a Substack. Like, where can people read you? All that kind of stuff.
Yes, I'll give you the full. So you can find me on social media. I'm on Instagram at Simone Polanin. You can listen to my podcasts, Past Perfect, the time traveling trivia show, and then Not Past It, which is a This Week in History show on Spotify. And I write a Substack. I give recommendations for movies, TV, music, all that. It is called Highbrow Lowbrow. Find it at highbrowlowbrow.substack.com.
Dope title, Simone. Dope title. Okay.
And is there a work of media, social media, anything like that that you want to shout out that you've been enjoying?
Yes. Okay. I really need people to watch You Are So Not Invited to My Bat Mitzvah.
Oh, yeah.
On Netflix, the Adam Sandler family affair. Sunny Sandler is a star. Sometimes yeah. Nepo babies really are incredible. Yeah. And it's, for me, it's like it was a perfect, beautiful, painful, emotional, moving story of girlhood and coming of age and friendship. And it like so exceeded my expectations. I had
Same.
A great time watching it.
It was like it had like it felt, you know how, do you see Blockers?
Oh, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Back
like,
yeah, a few years
Blockers
ago. Yeah.
Felt like a departure from the usual like teen movie. We're like, oh, they're getting into some interesting shit now. And they're doing it in a really funny way. That's how I like this felt like the middle school version of that, where I was
totally.
Like, oh, shit. Like, this is fucking like this felt real as somebody who was in middle school at one point. But I was like, this is fucking really well done. I got to say, yeah. I was also pleasantly surprised for sure. Joelle. Thank you so much again for joining me. Where do the people find you and follow you? And what can you put us onto in the form of media or tweets?
Here we go. Okay, so I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. It's JoelleMoniqueE. I just filmed my movie Dinner this past weekend. We're going to be going out to some festivals in 2024. So you can follow me and look for possible screenings. I would love to see your face around. We're very excited. It's going to be amazing. Social things you should check out. Okay. There is a woman named Mardi Pants, MardiPantz. She transitioned in like 1974 when she was 15. And she is documenting the history of what it was like to transition back then, what it's like to be an elder trans person who lost most of their trans friends. She talks to Xennials about their current transitioning and what that's like. It has been so informative, and like we just don't have a lot of history on like what was it like to be trans pre-1980. Mm-hmm. And she's doing the Lord's work there, getting into a lot of the details, which is great. Also, I'm obsessed with The Sims. I've been playing a lot of Sims. I've been building houses. I've been designing. It's so good. I have multiple families. They're all adorable. There's more lesbians per capita in my game than there will ever be in the world. And I'm just really enjoying being a part of the fandom. So if you follow The Sims, you can see they're doing a Norwegian limited style, or what do they call that?
Mid-century modern?
Yeah, like that clean Scandinavian style. You know what's up. So they just added a new pack. So if you're out there and you do The Sims and you build pretty houses and you want to ping me on any of my socials and show them to me, I'd like to look at your dope houses. Thank
you. That was my favorite part about The Sims. Like, I remember playing that shit at my brokest in college. And I was like, this is where I'm going to live.
yep. Every day I'm like, man.
Yeah. Watch me update this TV with one click. Boom.
Boom. Got it. Yeah. They have an entire like Los Angeles like get famous pack that has like an actual valley, a hills, and a downtown area. And when I tell you, I'm like, this is my mansion in the hills. If I could afford a house in the valley, this is what it would look like.
You could be in the
Warner
valley
Brothers
in
Studios.
The Sims.
Yeah. They have three lots the valley. Yeah.
Oh no. Just when I think I'm out. They pull me right back in.
Get it.
Damn. That's all I need to hear. I'm so valley-centric. Anyway, yeah, find me at Miles of Gray, wherever they got the ats. You can find me on, you know, Twitter, formerly X, Instagram, Threads, all that. And also check me out on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. I have a true crime show about the Greek Robin Hood, the search for the Greek Robin Hood, the man who is kidnapping millionaires and giving the money away to the folks out there without hurting anybody and trying to do it ethically. It's called The Good Thief, so check that out. And then if you like 90 Day Fiancé, like most highbrow consumers of media are, like me, check me out on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiancé. I'll let you guess what that show's like. Now, a tweet I like is from Yadoye, former guest, at Yadoye _ tweeted, affirmation in brackets. I am a hater, and I am also correct. We need that. I love that kind of affirmation. And I am also correct. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. Got a Facebook fan page, website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you, Joel. Where you can find all the articles we talk about, as well as the song we ride out on. That song we are going to ride off into the proverbial sunset of our weekend by this track, by this duo called Hermanos Gutierrez. And the track is called Cerca de Ti, which means close to you. And it is this, they're guitar playing. I gotta call it guitar playing, because it ain't guitar. They're picking some guitar on this. And Joelle, you heard me playing it before we started recording.
Good lick.
And I said the same thing. This shit makes me feel like I'm smoking weed on like a rainbow colored horse riding through the Technicolor desert. And it's just like great, like chill background music. You know, have a, you know, your coffee, a smoke, a wine, whatever you want to do to it. Okay? Cerca de Ti by Hermanos Gutierrez. That's going to do it for us. We're going to be back Monday with the trending episode where we tell you what happened over the weekend, as well as, you know, some more hits coming your way. So I hope y'all have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. Kings Island is now open on weekends.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.